Okay.
Raj.
Hey, Palika, you were on there an hour earlier.
Yes, I was.
Did you think it was an hour earlier?
No.
Then what you...
I wanted to try out.
Oh. Okay. Well, who's the moderator here?
I think I'm the admin in terms of I've set it up. I think Roshana may have got the questions sent to her.
Okay, you just need to make sure everyone should get informed the day before when it's happening at the in the different time zones. I had it written down at 6:30, and I would have organized myself a little different. Maybe it was my mistake, I don't know, but I had it down for then.
Okay, I'll be more accurate next time when I send an invite.
Yeah, that's just what you must do that for Deloitte, don't you?
Yeah. As in, usually the calendar should automatically do it, so I'm a bit surprised, but I'll keep an eye out.
Okay, yeah. If you set it up, then it'll send out. Okay, so we're going to be just a little... I don't think I have an hour, but anyway, let's move on. And at least we're in London tomorrow, day after tomorrow. I'll probably see most of, I won't see the people in Scotland or Wales, but I'll see most others. Okay, I'm seeing you, Murli, and I'm just thinking that something I had in my mind about Radhalan and Ishwar, but I can't remember what it is.
Oh, please, Gumbaji, firm. Well, I'm here, ready, all ears.
Okay, well, if it comes to mind, that was something. Okay, anyway, once I remember, I'll let you know.
Okay.
Okay. And the Kirtan family. Okay, so Hare Krishna to the Kirtan family. Hey, what's happening in Birmingham with the Birmingham Temple, or should I ask?
There's like an interim committee at the moment that's sorting everything out, so Baba Prabhu's heading it up. So I'm not sure about the details. He can probably fill you in as to what's going on. Management committee that's working on things.
Hello.
Hare Krishna. Okay, I'm just going to close this.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
I don't know
if you can hear us. Okay, so. What's the news?
Okay, Chaitanya Lee has a question. Start off with. Chaitanya Lee?
Hi, Krishna.
Question.
Hi, Krishna Gurmaj. My question was in regards to the understanding of curses in past times. Often we see, or we hear about certain devotees getting cursed, but then they have a alongside that there's a boon that they will be freed of the curse by seeing the Lord. And it kind of seems to be that a lot of curses seem to end in a blessing, or and I was just wondering if this is always the case, you know, within past times. And then my second question is in regards to curses and us conditioned souls.
Easier if you people just ask one question at a time, because then I can concentrate on it.
Sure.
No, doesn't necessarily, you know, you just have to read history. If you read read Shastra, then it doesn't mean that all curses have a boon along with them. I guess it depends who's the one who's cursing. And, you know, they're usually the people who get cursed sometimes ask for forgiveness, and then the Brahmin's heart softens, and he gives a happy ending to the thing. But it's not. I was going to say, generally, the curses don't come from the best quality Brahmins, but there are examples like Narad and Manigriva and Alakavera. Those then are really pastimes that are going on under Krishna's direction and not under the material energy's direction. But there are many others, other Brahmins who are not in the same category as Narad. What was the other question?
Thank you, Gaurang. The second part was what what does, well, sometimes an astrologer or we may, you know, may say, oh, you have such and such problem because you were cursed by a particular person. And I was wondering about curses with us. And how we can receive a blessing, you know, through the pain or the suffering or the curse, supposed curse.
I don't get the question.
I suppose I'm wondering about how do we receive, I mean, is it, how do we receive the mercy from the Lord? Is it, you know, just sort of through devotional service rather than...
Everyone else needs to turn off their microphones, otherwise we get feedback. Anyway, even if you're cursed, then, I mean, Srila Prabhupada didn't really prescribe anything else other than chanting Hare Krishna to counteract curses. You just need to be able to chant in the way that the mantra counteracts the curse. That's the problem. And if you can't chant like that, then you may try other material things, like gems and so on, to try and counteract it. But ultimately, nothing replaces the chanting. And tatena kampam shishamikshamano, curse not, it's our karma. This body's our karma. Sorry, it's a curse. The benefit of the body is that with this body, you can render devotional service and you can practice spiritual life. Without this body, you can't do it. If you don't have a body, you can't engage in spiritual life. So the worst possible curse is if you have a material body, but you can make something good out of every bad situation if you know how to engage things in Krishna service. So, yeah, and we want to just have pure faith. We don't want to compromise our faith. That's why Prabhupada's answer would be chant Hare Krishna.
Yeah, okay. Thank you, Gaurang.
Okay. Who's next? I'm just looking.
Question here from Gopal Guru Prabhu. he can't be on the call, so yes, ask me.
If you're not speaking loud enough or into the microphone.
Sorry, is that better?
When you speak, I'll find out.
Okay. I have a question from Gopal Guru Prabhu.
Yeah.
He's not able to be on the call today, but he asked if I would ask this question on his behalf. He's asking that, he's saying, I'm reading the Srimad Bhagavatam. In the first canto, sometimes the Yadus are described as demigods and sometimes as eternal associates of the Lord. So how can we understand this?
Some of them are demigods and some of them are eternal associates. And some of them are both. When they have the Krishna's disappearance and the Yadus have this sort of fight where they're fighting against each other, at least it appears to be like that, then the eternal associates go back to Dwarka, eternal Dwarka, and demigods go back to the heavenly planets. When Krishna's appearing, then Brahma says that the Lord instructs the demigods to take birth amongst the Yadus. So that refers to the demigods. But Krishna always appears with his eternal associates, so they're also there as well. Okay, someone else?
Krishna. Thank you for this opportunity, thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
I didn't get what you said.
Saying thank you for this opportunity.
Oh.
Thank you. Recently, you spoke, as a couple of months back, you were speaking on the podcast. I think it was a recording of a meeting that you had with devotees in London. I think the devotees at the manor. And you were speaking about our sadhana in relationship to, as you described, a lofty goal to obtain Krishna. And I think there you're referring to devotees achieve perfection. And you could say that their sadhana was extraordinary sadhana. So, and also we can see that devotees from, you know, who have excelled, you know, presently they've done so through extraordinary, I would say, sadhana or through wonderful preaching. So beyond what we could say, the 16 rounds and basic reading schedules. So I wonder if you could share with us more on this subject, on the nature of sadhana for, you know, doing extraordinary sadhana is often out of the grasp of devotees with families or who are managing temples who are, you know, full-time engaged. So I was wondering if you could speak about on the perhaps the quality on and the quantity of sadhana. And also I think you're writing your next book on this subject as well. So I wonder if you could share something on that. And if that's clear.
I don't remember so much the context of this extraordinary sadhana business. But it's certainly a feature, a wanting feature amongst Vaishnavas, their dedication, whether it's due to circumstances or just a lack of impetus to a serious practice of Krishna consciousness, serious cultivation of sadhana, that somehow it's going to happen anyway. In other words, you chant 16 rounds and follow regulative principles as a minimum function, and And if you fulfill that numerical obligation, then that's it. And that's not exactly, although that may be a sutra, but that's not what in Srila Prabhupada's books. Prabhupada places a lot of emphasis on the quality of these things, because there are different grades and standards of chanting to start with, and one won't actually be able to enter into those until one really learns the science of chanting, which is described in Srimad Bhagavatam, and also be very clear about what the purpose and goal is, and have the right inspiration, and all of that comes from being in contact with the Bhagavatam. So then if the end result is just doing the minimum, more or less it seems like the attachment is to this minimum of 16 rounds. It's not even minimum, but minimal. Mm. And that may or may not be enough. Ultimately, it's going to be up to Krishna. He's going to make the decision, not me. But if you see what devotees do to go back to Godhead, usually it's not because they've done the minimum.
Yes. So I think if I'm right, Guru Maharaj is saying that we shouldn't just be like part of like official religion, chant as 16 rounds and do the basics and then just not make any effort over and above that. We should be always trying.
Either someone's tied up in work or someone else is tied up in service. But, we have from 4:30 at the latest in the morning. You may be up earlier, maybe up, from 2:30 to 8:30. That's 6 hours of bhajan.
Yeah.
I don't mean bhajans, but 6 hours of bhajate mamananyava. And that's pretty good time. That's like 25% of the day.
Mm.
So, how deeply do we go into the japa period? I don't... If I'm giving class, I see someone who falls asleep more than once, I don't let him come into class anymore. For me, after 50 years, it's too boring to tell people to stay awake. Spiritual life isn't about staying awake. Yeah. Otherwise, owls are pretty advanced spiritually, or other... Napoleon only slept 2 hours a night. Well, that didn't make him very spiritually qualified. Mm. I don't spend my time waking people up.
Yes. Thank you very much, sir.
So, it requires quality. And actually, the quality that we put into that minimum 6 hours, and preferably more, it will also reflect on the quality of our service. And it also reflects on the quality of our work. Of course, people who are working, they're not, going through a morning program like we do. And so that means they have to wait even more, and even be more intense.
Yeah.
It'll certainly make the quality of their work, in other words, that they're thinking, yes, I am offering the results of my work, which in most cases will mean the results of the work is financial. I'm offering that to Krishna, but it places them in the right frame of mind and sort of insulates them from being affected by all the things that are going out in that outside world. But if we're distracted, if the first thing we do is open our computer, if we're sending messages and emails and so on, in that whole morning, then there's no way that things are actually going to be of a quality nature.
Yes.
And then if the 6 hours in the morning is good, and then that gives a good opportunity Plus, if someone's going to work, then they can be listening to classes and sort of compensating in that way while they're driving or taking public transport or however it is that they're moving around.
Yeah, so just one last, that's what Prabhupada would mean when you have to mention, or Prabhupada said, just chant 16 rounds and go back to Godhead. I think Prabhupada, as you mentioned, Sudha Bhakti Chintamani, it means pure chanting.
There's this section, of course, that's quite early. This is 1966, where this newspaper reporter comes into the temple and the devotees are there doing japa or chanting. And in whatever way that people used to do it at that time. And he asked Prabhupada, what are they doing? Prabhupada said, I don't know. Do they know what they're doing? Prabhupada said, I don't think so. If we're in touch with Bhagavatam regularly, then we'll really know what we're doing, and we'll really value the holy name, we'll value the deities, we'll be able to value the Vaishnavas, and we'll have a clear direction as to where we're going. We will feel inspired. Utsahan. It's that's how it works. But if we don't, then it won't happen.
Yeah.
And then it becomes religion, mechanical, then rituals.
Yes.
So you shouldn't fall prey to that, and not even in the name of so-called service. Although that's our ultimate business, is service. I'm going to come on Friday. I'm going to leave from here Friday morning after daily greeting and go drop in at the doctor on the way, and then I'll just go to the airport. And Deepak and Preeti is going to pick us up.
Thanks very much. Deepak's coming.
Okay. And then I'm going to go to the manor in the evening, and some folks from Dubai who usually come here, their son is going to school somewhere in Essex. And so she's going to come by and probably bring some folks, some relatives who are actually just here recently for IT. Arti's at 7, right?
Yes, Gaur Arti, yes.
So I'll stay for Gaur Arti, and then maybe if I could talk to them in Shri's office, I'll just have a little maha, and then I'll just go back. Because it'll be later my time. And then Saturday is Radha's festival. And I don't think I really want to sort of plug into any class. And I'll see how available we are when we're there instead. Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Something else? Anybody?
I have a question, Gurmash. I was just reflecting on the pastime of Durvasa Muni and Ambarish Maharaj, where Krishna makes it very clear that if you offend my devotees, then he's not inclined to forgive. He wants the person who offended to go to those who he offended and, you know, ask for forgiveness there. And then looking at the pastime of Indra, willing to destroy Braj and its residents, and, you know, the whole pastime of Krishna lifting Giriraj. And at that point, after Indra realizes that who Krishna is, then he goes to Krishna to ask for forgiveness. And it appears Krishna forgives him, but he committed offenses to the Vrishvasis. So how to understand that in connection with the whole Ambarish Maharaj and Durvasa Muni pastime?
Well, he continues to have problems. Indra's life is full of problems, and that just compounds it. And that's why later on he actually goes to Navadvip. Somebody's got their microphone on. I don't know who, and they're tapping on the table. That's why he goes to Navadvip to do austerities and to get forgiveness. But there's no record of him anywhere asking for forgiveness from the Vrishvasis. And so you see later on, when Krishna's coming for the Parijata flower, then again he gets in trouble. His whole life is trouble. He's constantly committing offenses to everybody. So it's not good. Not good to have access to unlimited power and unlimited sense gratification, even if you're a devotee. So in the case where someone can doesn't get forgiveness, or doesn't know, sometimes we commit offense. You know it by the result, which means that your devotional activities are not bearing fruit. But you don't know who it was. So in either of those cases, the only alternative is intense chanting until gradually it wears off. Sooner or later, one becomes free from offense, but it may take time. The quick way is to actually be able to get free from the person who committed offense. Anyway, that's a real problem. Yadi Vaishnava Paradi Uti Hatimata. It's Vaishnava, it's the elephant offense. And especially in a society, it's a society where newcomers are all neophytes. The tendency to make mistakes to each other is quite high, and then that really sort of slows down progress. So that's why Lord Chaitanya warns Rupa Goswami against that. Okay, well, let's have a last one. And I don't feel so bad about having a shorter discussion because I'm going to be there tomorrow, or day after. Did Adhoksaja go back? I saw that the Scots were there. Is he there, Ramananda's place?
He's back in Scotland, but Mahatma probably is here just now, so they're up at 6:00.
Uh-huh. Oh, that's good. How long is he staying there, Mahatma?
He's leaving tomorrow.
Uh-huh. Good. I'm glad some visitors are coming.
Yeah, Dayananda Maharaj was here as well, and Nisinga Kamacha Prabhu this Saturday.
Very good. Okay, good.
And Nima, I have a question, Guru Maharaj. Or I don't know if there's anybody else.
Go ahead, Nima. Is that okay, Guru Maharaj?
Yeah. Nima, you want to speak loudly?
Okay. My question is, why did the body so much suffering and misery in the material? Why did the people are still attached to it, still want to stay in it?
Are you saying why is there so much suffering in the material world and people are still attracted to it?
Yes, that's my question.
Okay. Well, that's because they're in Maya. That's because they're Maya and Mama Maya Duratyaya. Because Maya is very powerful. And so even though people are constantly getting beaten, they keep coming back for more. And so that's basically that's the answer. And it's quite interesting that it's not that because Maya is forcing them, but it's because we're attracted to Maya. We're holding on to it and won't let go. So because we want to be an illusion, therefore we get put in illusion. As soon as we let go, then we're not an illusion anymore. Mm-hmm. You understand?
Yes.
Are you going to stay brahmachari? You gotta go ask your father about household life. Anyway, that's one way of making life simpler and having more time for sadhana. Ask your mother. 3 kids takes up a lot of energy, a lot of sadhana time. Are you giving her more time now for spiritual practices? Yeah? Okay, that's good. Okay, so... actually, there was someone here, his name is Chaivan Rishi. I forget what their family is. They're just here from Nottingham. An interesting thing is there's direct flights from Budapest to Nottingham. I don't know why anyone in the world would want to fly to Nottingham, but it seems like there's international flights into Nottingham. So that's quite interesting.
Did you meet with them today?
I meet with them. Mohan was just brought them down. They just came for during the day. I met with them with half an hour, and that was just in the midst of a lot of things. Okay, so I guess we'll see most of you in a couple of days, and otherwise, we'll be in touch. I'm just looking at the calendar, and this time we've got to get it right. UK conference, Budapest, 25th, 2 weeks. In theory, that would be good for me.
The 25th, Wednesday?
It's 2 weeks from now, yeah. I'm in Budapest. I'm in New Vrindavan. I'm in America. No, that's no good. And the first, I'm coming back the first. And on the second, I meet with the Russian devotees. So we're down to the 9th of August, Thursday. And 6:30 your time, 7:30 my time. Now I got it.
Is a weekend possible, Guru Maharaj? Just because it's at 6:30 on a weekday, so many devotees are still trying to get back from work and things like that. if it's possible, then.
Well, we could do it on the 11th. Okay.
6:30 our time, 7:30 your time is good for you?
Yeah, although there's a thought that it could be, then it doesn't matter, it could be earlier, maybe better off if it's earlier. Yeah, let's make it earlier then, because everyone else would want to go. Why don't we like make it, I don't know, some other time, date, like, other time, like the 5th, 5 o'clock. I'm just looking at the calendar. That was, what day did I say?
11.
So, how about 5 p.m. my time, 4 p.m. your time?
That's fine by me.
Sankirtan Gopal Roy Prabhu. Is that okay?
Oh, it's for the Sankirtan devotees, you mean?
Yeah, I'm just wondering if it's a Saturday.
Otherwise, Saturday evening is usually, you know, an event evening.
Yeah.
So not just for me, but for others as well. Well, let's leave that, and then we've got a month to correspond between now and then.
Okay, cool.
That's exactly a month down the road. Okay. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.